The Northern Transport Corridor and the 2022 Victorian elections had a interesting confluence over. There was a massive swing in a variety of seats along that corridor towards the Liberals, and I got to chat with John Engelhardt, who about these results. He's been keeping an eye on these areas for quite a long time. He is a has been fighting for a very long time for some positive outcomes in terms of the poorest situation when it comes to public transport in the northern areas of this city. And it's he argues that the turnaround in the election for those particular voting patterns is directly related. And it's also directly related to the issue of climate, because, of course, public transport is a solution to climate change effects. So here's what John had to say. Thank you very much for talking to me. I'm interested in your understanding of some of the results in the Victorian election that's just happened, especially in relation to the northern suburbs and how it relates to climate change and or might relate to climate change and public transport in that area. You've done an analysis, haven't you?
Yes, I looked at the seats in the northern suburbs, which included Pascavale, Broadmeadows, Greenvale, Kalkello, Thomastown, Yanning. These are all very safe Labor seats, but there were substantial swings away from the Labor Party in these seats. There was a swing to the Liberal Party, but also the Victorian Socialists increased their vote, but there was also votes going to Family First and Animal Justice. The Greens slightly increased in some seats and slightly went back, a negative swing in some seats. So the Greens were very variable, and I think that was as a result of concentrating their resources more on the inner city seats, which they had a possibility of achieving greater success. So one of the issues in the northern suburbs is around transport, the Northern Transport Corridor. So that includes the Craigieburn Line and the Upfield Line, and the growth areas north of Craigieburn, so Kalkello, Mickleham, Wallen, Donnybrook, all those areas are experiencing population growth. And they are projected to be approaching 100,000 people by 2031. So one of the issues is the Craigieburn line is approaching capacity. So there really needs to be an extension to the Upfield line to Craigieburn, and then extension up to Wallen.
Well,
to meet the transport needs of people in these northern suburbs.
Let's go back to the figures. When you say there was a swing in places like Broadmeadows, there was a 9% swing to the Liberals. This is highly significant. It goes on in other areas, even down to places like Thomastown, where you've got Labor MPs, veteran Labor MPs, Bronwyn Halfpenny, who is very popular, in fact, experiencing a swing of 10.5%. So it's really not drawing too long a bow to think that there was some correlation with this type of vote, with this need to change feeling that the people in the northern suburbs are getting a raw deal, because you talk about a thing called, I love this, a high vampire index. Talk about that.
Yes, this is an academic about a decade ago came up with examining the issues in the outer suburban areas of the vampire index is the vulnerability assessment for mortgage, petroleum, inflation risks and expenditure. So people in the outer suburbs have usually high mortgages. They're reliant on cars for transport, so often they have two or three vehicles in a household. And, of course, they have they're at risk of inflation. And as we're seeing with our RBA rates going up, their home loans are increasing. When we've got an international crisis with pushing up petrol prices, that means more costs for running their vehicles. So these people are very sensitive to cost of living pressures up there, but the public transport is so terrible that even for a small proportion of those people who might use public transport, it's really, it's not being provided at all.
Yeah, they're captured by the spiraling household debt and their reliance on fossil fuel in order to be able to go to anywhere and to work.
Exactly. And it's made worse by urban planning. So there's only limited access roads into some of these suburbs. So these in and out get very congested during peak times. And simple things like there might be a V-line station, but the only access is via a road, which is a circuitous route, when there should be pathway through to the suburban development so people can go directly to the station. There should be cycling routes in the suburbs at the time of building. I know that going back a couple of decades, Roxburgh Park was actually designed at least somewhat with cycling in mind. So there's a whole lot of cycling routes through the Roxburgh Park suburb that was put in at the time of the design of that suburb. So the bicycle network were invited to come along and contribute to the urban planning of that area. And I don't think that has seemed to have happened with the new residential developments happening further north, and that's highly problematic. You know, when people who may want to just take their kids to childcare, they have to hop in the car to make a 45-minute journey, when if they had a cargo bike, they could take their kid to childcare, go to the shops, come home. But, it's been mostly designed around cars, which, you know, are a huge cost of living pressure.
Yeah, and there is a vote going on here. I mean, there is quite clearly something happening in the northern suburbs that are telling the government that something needs to be done. And you point out that there was actually a report, the Somerton Link report, which they spent $5 million on in 2018, but they have refused to release. What's your feeling on that?
I came across that in the budget papers in 2018. Another person put in a Freedom of Information request and it was refused, saying that the public didn't need to understand. It was a technical report. But my understanding is the taxpayer paid for this report. It should be made public, even though it could be only a technical report. My understanding of it is it provides what work needs to be done for extending the upfield line through to Craigieburn and costing for that work.
So do you think that what the government's done is thinking about how much money it's got and thinking that it doesn't need to deal with this problem at the moment because it's not going to affect their ability to get back into government?
Well, at the moment, it hasn't affected their ability to get back in government. As we saw, the eastern suburbs, with the suburban rail loop project, increased the votes for Labor. But Labor has ignored actually increasing the public transport infrastructure in the northern suburbs, and they went backwards. And sometimes, you know, by 10, 11%,
that's a lot
of the vote.
That's an enormous amount.
It is. And I think it's basically because they've been ignoring the infrastructure needs of the northern suburbs. And I know that there's also been ignoring the needs of the western suburbs as well in transport infrastructure, but I'm not across all the details for the western suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. But there's other issues over there as well, like dumping and chemical fires and stuff like that. But yeah, but this is a very interesting issue, isn't it? There was one positive that came out of this. Actually, you could say that this reverse in their and very large swing towards to the Liberals is actually a wake up call for them, and it might hearken for a better outcome for the northern suburbs in these two areas, but also there was one positive in the sense that there were people who were elected who have signed the Climate Emergency Declaration. Could you tell my listeners about what that is?
Yes, so the Climate Emergency Declaration is a statement which asks candidates to say they would support actions for a climate emergency in Victoria. I am convener of Climate Action Marybeck. I went around asking candidates to sign this declaration during the campaign, and quite a number signed in the three electorates which I am most concerned about. That's Brunswick, Pascoval and Broadmeadows. So basically the three elected members for Marybeck area, so the Broadmeadows electorate, Kathleen Matthews-Ward, the new Labor MP, has signed the Climate Emergency Declaration. Anthony Cianfloni, the new ALP member for Pascoval, has signed the Climate Emergency Declaration, and the Greens MP for Brunswick, Tim Reid, has also signed the Climate Emergency Declaration. So previously, only two of our MPs had signed on to the Climate Emergency at the 2018 electorate, so we've actually got all three local MPs now on board that we have a climate emergency and we need to start putting in place policies and programs to address the climate emergency.
So
that's been a positive outcome.
Yeah, yeah, that is a positive outcome. What do you think is going to happen in the northern suburbs now that, I mean, there is a little bit of traction. It's quite clear that people are sick and tired of this congestion. It's quite difficult for them to actually live the aspirations that they have and that they need practical change. So what do you see for the future?
Well, I think that the people in the northern suburbs, I think, are mostly progressive. They'd like to see a Labor government addressing the equity issues in the northern suburbs. And providing good public transport is part of addressing the equity issues. It's also part of addressing climate action as well in reducing emissions, because the more people that use public transport means the roads are less congested, less transport emissions. So, you know, it's the direction that we need to move in, that more people need to be encouraged to use public transport, and also in local communities, more cycling and walking. So that's essential for addressing transport emissions. At the moment, the government is only focused on electric vehicle transition, and although that's important, there also needs to be better public transport and cycling infrastructure put in place as well, so that people will move to those forms of transport. Not everyone, just there needs to be that availability of that.
Well, it strikes me that with all these large developments which are answering certain calls for affordable housing, then that's a moot point. But since there are these big developments that are going on, is there any push towards the developers themselves or an overall government plan that with these developments that there has to be these kind of elements involved in the planning?
I'm not across how much the government regulates the residential development, but they should be actually putting in place, you know, the elements of urban planning that are necessary, but the government itself should be putting in place the infrastructure for the suburbs. The government needs to do much more in this area for, you know, when new residential developments are happening and being developed. It's not only the developers' issue, it's also the government issue of providing the infrastructure. And we're seeing that also with a lot of the suburbs closer in. There's a lot of infill development happening. So there's pressures on parking and public transport in Faulkner, in areas of Broadmeadows as well, and in Coburg. So we're getting houses being subdivided and townhouses being put up. So there's all these demographic pressures happening, and at the moment the state government doesn't seem to be responding adequately to these pressures. So if you just look at the cycling budget, hardly any money is going into increasing the cycling infrastructure budget. Now, this applies mainly in the inner urban and the middle suburbs at the moment. But I look at New South Wales and they've got $950 million for their cycling budget over 5 years. In Victoria, we spend about $23, $25 million a year. So we're spending, you know, 20% of what New South Wales is spending. And, you know, we need to put in place the infrastructure so people will be encouraged to, you know, change to using public transport and cycling.
Yeah, well, we do, because it's all our futures at stake. Thank you very much for talking to me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.